Ben, am I on? Thank you. Thank you, Lucy, for reading this so beautifully. For some reason, when I read it, it just sounded very, very different. It must be to do with my accent. Evening seat marks. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kelvin Summergum. I've been in St. Mark for about 11 years now, and tonight I'd like to share the passage of Philip and the Ethiopian. You have no idea how I tried all kind of excuse not to do this today. But no matter what I thought, there was something very, very particular about this passage. Philip was on a mission to convert the Ethiopian. He was a foreigner and a eunuch. And there's something very common here. Not the eunuch, by the way, but at least the foreigner. And I felt that no better person could actually witness or talk about my personal experience from coming from abroad into the UK to then actually witness God's word and know God's salvation. Let us pray. Father God, we ask that the words that come from my mouth today is not my own words, but yours. The message that I give about today, the insight that comes through the reading, they're not my own, but they are wisdom from you, Father. Let the weak human words that come out from my mouth give us grace to really understand the true and living words of Jesus. Amen. Right. Before we actually start, I just want to have a small riddle here and see how many of you actually know who I'm talking about. I start. After she graduated at the age of 22, she wanted to be a missionary. So she wrote to various missionary organizations, but with no luck. She then sought advice from Richard Thompson, a minister in Shoreditch, who told her that she should buy a ticket for a boat, going as far as she could get, and to pray to know when to get off the boat. She followed the vicar's advice and arrived at a new place by boat in 1966. She knew no one there, and had only $10 in her hand. Anyone know who I'm talking about here? Jackie. Excellent, excellent. Jackie once said that she actually banked her life on a miracle to actually set off for that journey. And the man we are actually going to talk today is Philip. And Philip had a very, very similar story to tell. And I have to admit something here. Before preparing for this passage, I didn't know who Philip was. And also, I didn't want to get the wrong Philip. And had to find out how many Philips are there in the Bible. And there are actually four. One is the apostle, one is the evangelist, and there were two that were the sons of King Herod the Great. So tonight, we're going to be talking about Philip, the evangelist. So, we know from previous verses that Philip was involved in the revival at Samaria. And that was very, very successful. Many people were coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the place of spirituality. But what happened is, Philip leaves all that, and the Lord led him off into the desert to take the gospel to one man, a eunuch and foreigner. It's amazing how sometimes God uses each one of us for a purpose. And sometimes we resist, and sometimes we just let go. And I'm going to share a little story with you now, which is very, very personal to me. I remember once discussing with my grandmother. At the time, I was a Hindu, and some of you in the congregation know that, but my grandmother was a Christian, very complicated. I'm not going to talk about that bit today. But I used to go to the temple, and every time, deep in my heart, there was a void. I was standing there just imitating the priest. Whatever he was doing, I could just do the same. Whatever he was saying, I had no idea what he was talking about. And that just raises a lot of questions. And I remember talking to my grandmother and saying, "Nan, I don't know how to get out of it. And this is not really fulfilling. And there's something missing." And I remember her saying to me, "Don't worry. When it's time, the Lord will make it happen." And then one day, she rang me. She said, "Kelvin, why don't you come for a cup of tea?" So I went there, I saw her, and she said, "The Lord has told me that he's going to take you from that place and send you out far, Europe, to serve the Lord." At which point I said, "Me, excuse me, Nan, I'm the one needing help here. No chance. Plus, I just don't have the money for it." And she said, "And by the way, I've got actually some spare cash." At which point I said, "No, I'm not taking the money of a pensioner. No, I don't want that on me." And for her, she knew God had a bigger plan. And I, at the same time, I thought, okay, let me think about this logically. My nan has saved money for me to serve somewhere. I don't know where. And if I don't take that money, she won't be able to serve. She won't be able to fulfill her purpose. She doesn't get to go to heaven. And that's my fault. So I thought, no, I better take the money so I can actually secure a place in heaven for my nan. And I did. And a year later, I found myself in Gillingham. And it was hard work. The weather was harsh, homesickness, and I left a very comfortable Mauritius to come here. And I felt, what have I done? And I went through a lot of hard times until about 2 years later, I met somebody who happened to be in the congregation today, and talking about my grandmother and all hardship, and he pointed me to Psalm 23 and encouraged me to actually join his own fellowship team he had at work. And about a year later, I actually took baptism, and have since been coming to church year after year after year. And for those who know me and everything I do for St. Mark's, I get involved on the projector, Landmark, and many other things. And the person I'm talking about here also is Richard Tolhurst, who sat here. And sorry, I didn't mention that to him, so I didn't want to embarrass him. But it took that long, and I didn't know where I was going. And at that time, I just felt, looking back, that, wow, God has really, really worked here. And who would have thought me going through that journey? And I even have a picture of me and my nan here that was back in 1996. Why am I telling that story to you? Well, similar to the passage that had just been read to us, there are three key points in my story here. Let me unpack it to you. There's about submission, letting go. There's seeking Christ, but also we need the Spirit's guidance. Very important. We need Him to lead us. Our first point, which is submission, which was verses 26 to 27, it deals with how Philip is submissive to the will of God in just going down to the job that God called him to do. We find this in verse 26 and the first part of verse 27. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he arose and went. What really strikes me here is that Philip could have said, "Hey God, we've got a really big revival going on here. I've got speaking engagements and people to minister to. I'm a pretty popular guy here in Samaria. Why should I go off into the desert?" I would like us to take note of something else here. 2 points, actually. The first one is that this was a road going through the desert. The other one is go south. In some translation, go south is also mean go at noon. No one goes in the desert and walks at noon. But Philip doesn't question God. Philip doesn't question God's timing or the direction God sent him. And we see here true submission to God. This is roughly, I don't know whether you can see it properly here, but you have Jerusalem and Gaza, and that's the desert road there. And this is the direction that Philip was traveling. Let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you now, what would you do if the Holy Spirit were to come to you and say, "Leave, just go somewhere, Great Lines, for example, just go now"? What would you do? And also, it might be a case that you'll be away for a week or a month. What would you do? I can hear someone in front here saying, "I'll miss my cricket training on Friday." Others saying, "Oh, I've got to wash my hair tomorrow." Ben at the back is saying, "Well, I miss Facebook. Facebook has taken our lives. Everybody's on Facebook." Did you actually know that Alcoholic Anonymous, there's one for Facebook as well, where people who've got addiction of Facebook goes. Some people put their dinner on Facebook. But all that, we need the help of God, because sometimes maybe we've been focusing too much on the perishable world that we're not really paying attention to what God has for us, what God is telling us. What Philip does is he starts walking south on the desert road, just patiently waiting for God to tell him what his next step should be. This is what it could have looked like. Not sure, but it's a desert road leading to nowhere. And we find the next point in end of verse 27 and 28, which brings me to my next point, the seeker. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet." I see this passage kind of twofold here. First, I see symbolism. God will place people in our lives that we are journeying down the road with. But on the other hand, this man was seeking God with his whole heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, God tells us, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." How do we know this man was seeking God? Well, it tells us in that passage. He was in Jerusalem worshiping. He was on his way home and reading the scriptures. This is significant because the man was a eunuch. It is not clear whether he was physically eunuch, but he was somebody who was seeking the Lord. In the Old Testament law, if he would have been really a eunuch, then he wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. The Jews would have called him as a God-fearer. People who go to the synagogues, pray and read scriptures, but do nothing else. This man was a man of great authority and influence, who came all the way from Ethiopia. Ethiopia in these times was in the area of Sudan, south of Egypt. It was a large and powerful country and encompassed Central Africa. He came to Jerusalem to worship. It's about 12,000 miles, roughly. I would also like you to take note of one thing here, verse 28. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. That's significant, and I believe that he's reading Isaiah because of certain passage of Isaiah that gives hope to the eunuchs and foreigners. We find that passage in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3 through 8. If you want to follow it through your Bible, feel free, you should have it on the screen as well. "Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let not any eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says to the eunuch who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its wall a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered." In this passage, God proclaimed hope for the eunuch and the foreigner. This man was both. He came to Jerusalem seeking God, seeking hope, something to fill the void in his life, that the power and influence he had could not fill. Before we move to my next point, I want to draw your attention to this. The church in Jerusalem were abiding by certain rules wherein if you were a Gentile, there were some restrictions imposed upon you. But God had a different plan. God sent Philip to meet that one man in the desert. We see our third point in verses 29 through to 31. It's about the Spirit's guidance. "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him." Note here, there is no longer an angel of the Lord, but the Holy Spirit who talks to Philip and is a driving force. Let's picture this for a minute. He was out in the desert in the heat of the day. The chariot would have been maybe ox-drawn or horse-drawn. The eunuch would have had a large entourage. I think it would be really nuts to be chasing a chariot of such a high-ranking official appearing from nowhere in the middle of the desert. That could actually get you killed. To make matters even worse, when he gets there, he tells the eunuch reading Isaiah, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Bang. That should tell us something about Philip and how enthusiastic he was about serving God and doing his will. I remember another story of mine. Some of you know I commute a lot to London. And, you know, you have the free newspapers, kind of metro. You just pick one and it's free. But generally, I don't pick one because I'm normally working in the morning. But sometimes, you know, you have the person next to you who is reading the newspaper and something just catches your attention and you're kind of peeping through. And sometimes people get offended. It's like they move the page a bit. No, this is my newspaper. You can't read my newspaper. And can you imagine, with my accent, especially during Brexit time, me telling him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" What would that have done to me? And this is very, very similar here. Somebody of that rank, for Philip, to actually muster courage to tell him whether he understood what he was reading. But there's a strange thing that happens here between Philip and the Ethiopian. The eunuch confesses his need for an interpreter and invites Philip to sit with him. We don't know for sure whether Philip's Jewish accent and the clothing would have given him away as someone who could help him interpret the scriptures, or simply the Holy Spirit at work here. But what seems obvious is the eunuch needed guidance. He didn't get what he was looking for in Jerusalem, and he kept on seeking after God. This man had God's word, but he needed a little help. And we see this in verses 32 through to 34. The passage that the eunuch was reading is found in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, and provided a perfect opportunity for Philip. This speaks about God's sovereignty. God led Philip to the right place at the right time to meet a man who God was preparing for the encounter. Have you actually noticed that the eunuch asked a very, very strange question here? He didn't ask about what the verses meant. He could read the words, but he wanted to know the deeper meaning of what he was actually reading. He asked if the prophet was talking about himself or someone else. And if we pay particular attention to verse 33, "Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from earth?" And for Philip, at that very, very specific time here, he would have suddenly realized why he was called to the desert. As an evangelist, it would be himself and his brothers in Christ that would declare Jesus to the world. A couple of attributes that Philip had here was he was on alert. He was obedient. He had a lot of trust in the Holy Spirit. He was enthusiastic in chasing the chariot. Just as important as well, he was ready. Philip was ready to open the scripture to this man and let God do the work on his life. And we see God at work in verses 35 through to 37. "Then Philip opened his mouth." and beginning at this scripture, preach Jesus to him. Then Philip opened his mouth. It's quite significant because if we look at Romans 10, verse 17, we'll see. If it doesn't come on the screen, I'll just read it. So it says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This man had heard the scriptures that day. He was ready to accept Jesus as his Savior. Verse 36 tells us they come to a small stream of water and the Ethiopian wants to get baptized. He says to Philip, "What's stopping me?" Now look at this question. I see more evidence of God's foreign work. Philip and the Ethiopian are going along in the desert and here is some water in the desert. God is providing for them again all along. Philip replied to the Ethiopian, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." And depending on the translation you have in front of you, you probably won't have that bit because it's probably been in Italic. But this is what Philip replied to the Ethiopian. Some scholars don't think that it should be there, but personally I do. And let me explain why. Philip had just preached salvation to Simon the sorcerer and baptized him. And that were previous verses. But verses 18 to 24 of Acts 8 gives us some hints that he did not get saved. And maybe this was because Simon was not prepared. His heart was not ready to accept Jesus. Philip didn't want to see that happen again. He wanted to make sure, as best as he could, that Ethiopian was really saved. The Ethiopian answer is a very profound one. He says that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's give this some biblical context. Romans 10, verse 9, tells us this. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think this is perhaps what Philip had in his mind when he heard the answer given by the eunuch. So Philip takes the Ethiopian down into the water to baptize him, and what happened next is pretty amazing too. We see this in verses 39 to 40. "Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Gazara." Can you imagine the reaction of the Ethiopian? Normally you come out of water trying to kind of wipe your face and trying to look what's happening here. But Philip was gone. He's disappeared. He's gone. But we know that verse 39 says to us that the Ethiopian was actually rejoicing. Quite often, the mark of a true believer. Romans 15, verse 13 tells us this. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This man had joy. And Philip's job there was done. He was called up by God to Azotus, which was about 20 miles away from Gaza. You can see it here. So he disappeared and reappeared about 20 miles. We don't know for sure what happened to the Ethiopian, but tradition tells us that he became a missionary to the Ethiopians. And he was instrumental in actually leading many on the continent of Africa to Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to encourage each one of us to think about the people around us that we can influence for Christ. So that in a few years, they can look back at you just as I did earlier today. And you would remember that person who influenced them. In Christ. Let us pray. We thank you, merciful God and Father, that you have brought us to know you and your Son by your Spirit. Grant that we, having received Christ Jesus the Lord, may live in him, and grant us a strong faith, patience, and steadfastness as we spread the good news and deliver your people from sin and suffering. Amen.